Yeah. If somebody, I'm not worried about somebody yelling or being vocal. I'm worried about somebody thwarting our ability to conduct business. Isn't that our first and foremost fiduciary duty, sir, to be able to conduct business?
Okay, Sean,
that's
I don't
what
think
we're
that's the point
about
of information. Okay.
That's the point of information.
All right.
Well,
point of,
all right. Well, you stated
about
it,
by Carolyn, if
you,
I may.
You stated it. Thank you.
Am I
understanding? Okay, Carolyn's already spoken. Anybody else has spoken?
I just want to clarify something that was said.
Brown. Jim is on his stack. When would I get?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, we have Carolyn has a point of information, and then Jim Brown, and then Steve. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I think I called out earlier than
Jim Brown, but I'll defer to another Brown.
Well, this is a point of information, so it takes precedence. So go ahead, Carolyn.
Well, it's really clarification. I think the point overlooks the fact that the motion calls for evidence of disruption, not talking or shouting, but disrupting, meaning keeping a meeting from going forward. Perhaps we need to refine the language a little better. Thank you.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah. I think the bylaws gives the authority and to run the election to the National Election Supervisor and to his assistants, who are the local supervisors. So how do we enforce something that they're supposed to be doing anyway? They're supposed to be protecting this election for us. They're supposed to be running it for us. Why do we have to relinquish them? Why do we have to do their job for them? Is what I say, and I think that's the tone or the spirit that I'm getting from that particular from this particular motion. And
okay,
that if we allow.
We're talking about the ruling of the chair. Are you speaking for or against that? Okay, right now we're talking about the ruling of the chair. So are you speaking?
I understand. This is my argument for overruling the chair in this,
okay,
in this respect, in that we need to really consider what we're doing and how it's going to affect the job of the election supervisor.
Point of
okay.
information, Steve Brown.
Yes, Steve.
I have lost track of what the ruling of the chair was. Can you repeat it?
I ruled that. Bob made a point of order that the PNB has no authority to disqualify candidates, and they can't make up rules in the middle of the game. And I ruled that that was not a point of order, not a valid point of order.
Right. I see. Okay. I will speak to that, but I'd also like to speak on the issue when it's up.
Go ahead, Steve.
The fact of the matter is that the PNB can pretty much do what it wants. And if the PNB decides that the association of a particular person with Pacifica or in attendance at any of his meetings is preventing Pacifica from fulfilling its mission, then they can vote to exclude that person either from an election or from a meeting. And they can also vote to fire a person from Pacifica for participating in that disruption. And by disruption, we mean not the emotional outburst of a person, which we can tolerate unless it goes on and on and on, but the planned strategic disruption of meetings, as Bob Lederer participated in, both at the PNB and at the LSB at WBAI, in which the
point
goal...
Point of personal privilege.
Please, no personal attacks,
you can make your point. It's not a personal attack.
It's a point of personal privilege, Bill.
Okay, Bob.
Because I was personally attacked just now.
Point of personal privilege, Bob.
Hold on, Steve. No, let Bob make his point.
When I finish,
this is not an attack.
He doesn't have to interrupt me. He can make his point when I finish, and you can then recognize him.
Is that okay, Bob?
Not under Robert's rules. A point of personal privilege takes precedence.
You don't.
Go ahead, Bob.
When it's finished.
We'll get back to you, Steve. Hold on. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Steve just said that I participated in a planned disruption of the meeting.
You helped organize it.
Right. And that is completely false.
I watched it.
First of all, under Robert's rules, you're not supposed to make personal criticisms of other members of the committee. That's number one. So it's out of order just automatically. But it's also completely factually wrong, and and unfair and outrageous to be, you know, wielding these accusations. I was one of many people who expressed, you know, our personal outrage at the illegal actions taken by this board. That's, you know, that's a completely different thing than organizing disruption. And, you know, this just cannot be continued to allow people on a web stream call to be making that kind of accusation.
Please, Chair.
Okay, I'm really in favor of Bob here. Please, just please know, don't, you don't have to mention names, Steve, okay?
Yeah, okay, here's the point. Here's the point. The point is, to answer that particular point, I was at both of those meetings, and I watched the colleague in question organize and urge people
okay,
to
Mr. Chair, he is continuing to violate the basic rules of procedure here by naming me without naming me.
A fact is a fact.
We're talking about facts. These are not ad hominem attacks of opinion. These are witnesses. It's on film. I watched it. Other people witnessed
okay.
it. It's a fact.
Steve,
and if you
Steve,
cannot
just,
speak the fact,
address the ruling of the chair issue,
okay.
please.
The fact is that the PNB has a right to fire those whose presence in our meetings or whose association as employees cripple the work of the foundation in fulfilling its mission. Okay? So even if it's a gray area, whether the election supervisor has the right to ban a candidate from the election, it is not a gray area, that for it's the protection of the foundation, the PNB can rule those people persona non grata.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on this ruling of chair? We do need to kind of move on. It's getting late.
I just want to associate myself with the remarks of the last speaker. Thank you. And Ms.
Okay.
Burton, thank you.
Okay. All right. Can we vote on this, please? Okay. So if you vote in favor of the appeal of the motion of the chair, then you're saying my decision was incorrect.
No, if you vote
really?
Yes, if
yes,
you are supporting the chair. If you vote no, you are disaffirming the chair.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Just so we're clear. Okay, so if you vote yes, you're agreeing with my decision that Bob's point of order originally was not valid.
Was not well taken.
Okay, thank you. All right, all in favor? Or Josh, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, Wesley Bethune.
Can we just raise our hands?
Yes,
I'm
okay.
Sorry, I don't understand. Why are
I
we
can't
voting?
See you on my video screen, though.
Okay, well, okay, let me repeat. Okay, the point of order, which I ruled against, was Bob said that the PNB has no authority to disqualify candidates and can't make up rules in the middle of the game.
I'm sorry, correction, that's not quite what I said.
Okay.
I didn't say the PNB. Well, yeah, that's a true statement, but it's not really what I said. I said the PNB doesn't have the authority to recommend or urge the National Election Supervisor to disqualify candidates.
Okay. All right. I didn't write
which
it down.
What this motion says.
Okay. And then what we're voting on right now was my decision to rule that this was not a valid point of order or not well taken. So if you vote yes right now, you're agreeing with me that against Bob.
You're upholding the chair's ruling.
Upholding the chair's ruling, yes, thank you. So if you vote yes, you're upholding the chair's ruling.
Then I vote no.
Order. Okay.
Okay, Wesley votes no.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Carolyn?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
No.
Steve Brown?
Yes.
I don't know that Bill votes on this. I guess the tie goes to the runner. But anyway, Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Tracy Larkins? Bob Lederer?
No.
Warren Marr? Ithia Wangaza? Sean Casey O'Brien?
Yes.
Wendy Schrell?
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Yosh votes yes, and the chair's ruling is sustained 3-6-4.
Okay.
We can go on to the main motion, which was Carolyn's motion.
All right. Any more discussion on Carolyn's motion?
Yes,
we can
Steve
keep
Brown
brief.
Has spoken on this motion.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
In support of this motion, I would say that certainly Bonnie's objections were well taken. We need a good definition of what disruption is, and Carolyn started to clarify that. And my point would be, it's not an emotional outburst that lasts short time and does not really, it may hold for a short time the work of the committee, but it does not prevent the work from going forward. Disruption would be organized, deliberate attempts to grind the meeting to a halt if it does not go in the way in which the disruptors like it. And that is not acceptable in a democratically elected board or a situation in which 85,000 members of Pacifica received ballots and voted to empower these boards to conduct the business of the foundation. It is a tiny minority attempting to impose their will on the majority, and it is not acceptable, especially when they have the right to speak, they have the right to make public comment, and they have the right to speak as board members, none of which they felt was enough. They had to disrupt the meetings. They should be excluded and or fired whenever, whichever is appropriate, depending on their status.
Okay. Charles, anybody else that hasn't spoken on Carolyn's motion yet?
And Bob for the stack.
Okay, and then Bob. Sean,
and Carolyn
ahead.
Last. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very simple. Disruption, documented disruption, is very simple. It's anything that thwarts our ability to conduct business. That comes directly out of Robert's Rules of Order. And anybody who organizes to thwart our ability to conduct business is disruptive and should be forbidden to be involved of the business of the foundation, whether that is in a professional capacity or in a governance capacity. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob?
Well, I find this entire debate laughable. I mean, this is the people, the advocates for this position are sounding eerily similar to the corporate board members in the 90s that were trying to take Pacifica away from its mission and move it into the mainstream. And they used exactly the same arguments about we can't tolerate disruption and this is absolutely unacceptable. There needs to be a strong crackdown on this. This is the history of Pacifica. It's the history of this country, and fighting against injustice has always involved what the powers that be would call disruption of business as usual and an unacceptable interference in their ability to do the business of their agency or their board or their assembly or whatever the case may be. This is all part of a tradition of protest on the one hand, and on the other hand, those who would regulate it are setting up an absolutely arbitrary, subjective system that allows board majorities, because let's look at the wording here, the recommendation of the LSB should be considered. So an LSB who's controlled by a majority that is in one political camp, it's an absolute license for them to say, well, you know, so-and-so, because they spoke out several times in that meeting, they're being disruptive, and we're going to recommend that they be disqualified so that then their allies can win the next election or enlarge their majority or whatever the case may be. It is exactly what the bylaws, to the extent there is any democratic aspect to the bylaws, this is one of the safeguards that was designed to prevent the sort of abuse where, board majorities and also the general managers were supposed to be completely immune and separated out from the whole election process because their jobs are evaluated, their performance is evaluated by the board. And so, obviously, they're going to have an interest in who gets elected to the board. And this is offering them, in addition, an invitation to start manipulating the process all in the name of so-called disruption, which that people have been outspoken and angry and spoken out of turn on all sides for all these years. And it's interesting, some of the people who have been calling for this sort of crackdown don't talk about a retroactive application to their own behavior. And the last thing I just want to note,
particularly
that,
you, Bob,
I want to note that this is the classic sort of ex post facto rule that is long accepted in constitutional law that it is illegitimate to do. You can't make up rules in the middle of the game and apply them that weren't in effect before. So even if there was, which I totally reject that there's any legitimacy to this sort of a rule, you can't just apply it in the middle of an election when people went into the election in good faith under one set of rules, and then now suddenly in the middle they're going to be told something that they have already done could be used to disqualify them. So on every possible level, it's unethical, it's unfair, it violates the bylaws, and it's an invitation to abuse.
Nobody did that.
Okay. Carolyn?
Steve Brown?
Okay, Carolyn and then Steve on the stack?
Yeah, may I let Steve go first, please? I'm still writing up here.
Yeah.
All right, Steve?
Claim that this is ex post facto is ridiculous. Compare it to a situation in which somebody who is already running and is qualified as a candidate goes out and shoots somebody. It would not be a problem to exclude him from participation in Pacifica affairs, right? So it's not that the rules are changing in the middle of the game. If the using the illustration of shooting someone is extreme, but it's the same kind of illustration. When somebody does something that is violative of Pacifica's rules, that is disrupting our meetings, then they can be excluded or disqualified from participating in Pacifica events and affairs. Elections is one of those things. It's not ex post facto. It's not changing the rules in the middle of the game. And Bob's statement is ridiculous on its face.
Okay, Carolyn?
Yes, I do find Bob's arguments specious. Really, this ruling upholds the power of the supervisor, and it simply makes it clear that if there's evidence, audio, visual, whatever, it should be submitted by any member, not just the local station board and not just the GM, and it should be considered, not must be determinative. Okay, the language is really quite respectful of the power of the supervisor. It simply asks that he make a determination within 5 days. I'd like to point out that Bob is part of the board that managed to silence Paul DiRienzo for speech, not violence, and not disrupting or holding up a meeting at gunpoint, practically. He did not go around and tell people to sit in and obstruct an executive session of the LSB. DiRienzo's, peccadilloes were really quite minor compared to what the people did to the latest PNB meeting. So I'd like to point out that the language here simply encourages and allows people, gives them the vehicle for complaining and getting a response from the national supervisor. So it can't be deep-fixed or buried or ignored. That this kind of disruption is not only verbal, sometimes it is physical, as we saw at the PNB meeting, and as those of you who look at videos of our LSB meeting have seen even further. So I would urge us to do something. The language is quite respectful of the bylaws and of the supervisor's power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just remember, I have at least one other motion that we hope we have time to deal with tonight, and maybe we'll have more. Sean.
Yeah, I want to associate my remarks with Carolyn again, but I also want to say, folks, we've gone beyond, you know, protecting the foundation. After what has happened in New York, both at the PNB level and the LSB level, we have been put on notice. It is now foreseeable that somebody is going to get hurt. When people run down narrow highways swinging a chair over their head, slam it down on the floor, and fall on people and harm the public in our meetings, we could be sued. We have an absolute right to stop this kind of behavior, which, once again, is only being done to thwart our ability to cause business, to conduct business. But also, folks, we have a duty of loyalty and care to this foundation to protect the public from this kind of stuff. And if we don't stand up and start to deal with these people, whether that means putting security guards in our meetings or conducting our business telephonically, we're going to get in trouble sooner or later, and I believe that is the intent of the provocateurs who are bringing this about. So this isn't just to do with elections. This is to do with protecting the foundation from what ultimately will be lawsuits when one of the provocateurs does go off and drop the chair on somebody's head. Thank you very much.
Okay, can we go ahead and vote on this, I hope, please?
No, Bob, put it back, please.
Okay, Bob.
I call a question.
Well, Bob has the floor now. Please be brief, though, Bob.
Okay, yeah.
You've already spoken once.
Yeah, just wanted
to
say...
Yeah, you have spoken once. That's right. Didn't we say we couldn't do that?
Appeals of the chair's ruling. It's not on committee business in general. Check
out. I let everybody speak once, and then somebody wants to speak again.
Yosh Rishak.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Since the member brought up his allegations about a recent meeting about what happened, it was I was at the meeting, and his account is completely fallacious. And what's interesting about that is that it doesn't even mention the fact that a sitting board member actually pulled a chair out from under someone and caused injury to them. So that's the kind of thing that I would think people might be concerned about if they're talking about lawsuits. Is actual.
That's a mischaracterization
conduct.
Of the facts. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. I was there. You weren't.
He's not
but
a sitting
any,
member.
Excuse me. You
okay,
are not
okay, Sean, just
interrupting. The other point that I think, you know, needs to be clarified here is that when the person making the motion preceded her comments by alleging that some of the people involved in these that she says are involved in these incidents have actually been involved in violence, and that is yet another unsupported allegation that continues to be made by people who seek to, you know, create hysteria for about conditions at meetings that are really about vocal protest, and that there's no evidence about violence, and that continues to be an inflammatory method of, you know, of changing the whole terms of the debate to something completely different. Of course,
point
everyone
of personal
is opposed
point
to
of
the use
privilege,
of violence.
Please.
Okay, state your point, Carolyn.
The member has mischaracterized what I said, because what I said was true, and I stand by it. And if we want to discuss that, that's a whole other issue. But in fact,
okay,
there has been violence.
Well, if you need to, if you feel compelled to talk about that later, go ahead. But
can
go
I
ahead,
get
Bob,
on the stack,
finish,
Bill?
Thank you.
I'm almost
yeah,
done,
okay.
Bill.
All right. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
We have the ocean,
so,
Leslie.
In any case, the terms of this motion are about disruption, and disruption, you know, is the classic political term for, you know, any sort of interruption in the normal proceedings of a meeting that are disliked by the people who are controlling the meeting. And so again, it is a totally subjective term that completely brings the question of qualifying candidates into a new realm of political of opening it to political abuse. That's
can
it.
I get on the stack, Bill?
Well, the ocean, then Wesley.
Yes, thank you. I have a problem with the way the motion was posed, and so I would propose different language. I don't have the original motion in front of me. But
I can
basically,
read back what you mailed to us.
Yeah, I know. I've been working on a second draft here. I'm going to try to save.
Are you talking
this.
About amendment? This is a point of information. Are we
yes,
talking
that
about
is correct.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if I can't amend and if I'm out of order, then you can proceed. I guess I would have to abstain at that point because the motion.
Well, if you
want
to amend it or have a substitute motion, you can, but it is getting late. So
yeah.
Let's try to.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, just a quick point of information. Did you receive the motion that I sent out?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been working on Carolyn's motion, so I don't know what's been.
Okay,
I got Yosha's statement of typing up of Carolyn's motion, and one from Steve, and one from Sean. From
okay, good. Thank you, sir. That's all I needed.
Okay,
to
if I may continue, the motion as it stands right now is within 5 days of receipt of the complaint from any station member. Now, that sounds as if any station member can go directly to the LES or the NES. Shouldn't the process be that if there is a complaint by a member, that complaint and the video or audio evidence then goes to the LSB and the GM, and then the LSB and GM consider that recorded evidence and then make a recommendation to the NES and LES for them to make a determination? The way it is presently drafted, it says the LES and the NES shall make a final determination within 5 days of receipt of the complaint from any station member. That seems to me an unworkable situation.
So what would be the wording change? Carolyn,
you know, this is a friendly motion. I would redraft it to read as follows. Candidates who have been disruptive of meetings of the LSB and or the PNB should be disqualified as candidates for delegates to the LSB. Complaints from any station member, together with video and audio evidence of these disruptions, if recommended for referral to the LES and the NES by the LSB and the GM, should be considered by the LES and the NES. The LES and the NES shall make the final determination within 5 days of receipt of the referral.
Okay, is there a second?
You don't need a second in committee, do you?
Oh, okay. Right, thank you. Okay, any more discussion on Yoshi's amendment, which would have the effect of going first to the LSB?
Well, is it
yes, Carolyn, please.
I just want to be clear on one thing, sir. Is it an amendment or a substitute motion?
I think this is an amendment. I'm not really trying to push Carolyn aside. I'm just trying to polish up the procedure so that it reads properly, because to say if a member files a complaint, then within 5 days of that complaint, then the LES and the NES is required
right.
to make a determination. Well, you haven't even had the LSB meeting. You haven't had the
GM. Well, the question whether it was an amendment. So I guess the NES.
All right, Carolyn,
I just want to be sure.
Please?
Thank you.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah, I think, Yosh, I think that was exactly what I was trying to avoid, because Bob's objection would obtain there. It does insert the LSB and the GM into it as a necessary part of it. I'm saying it should be considered, but in fact, any member may bring a motion, and if a member goes to the supervisor without any evidence and without a recommendation from the LSB and without a recommendation from the GM, that's a different kettle of fish. But I'm just suggesting that there should be a recommendation by the LSB and the GM, but otherwise I think it might well be construed as interference if, in fact, there has to be and a member could not make a complaint to the national supervisor without the authority of the board. That strikes me as abridging a member's right to make a complaint about a campaign violation.
So you're in favor of Yoshi's amendment, too?
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm totally against it.
Wendy, on the stack?
I think, in effect, it kind of hogties a member and keeps a member from being able to make a complaint about someone who, in fact, might be a member of the majority on the board and the GM, and not his complaint or her complaint might not be supported by those people.
Okay, I forgot I had Wesley on the stack, but that was actually for the original motion, not the amendment. So I'll get back to you, Wesley, unless you want to talk about the amendment.
I would like to talk about the original motion.
Okay, I'll remember you. Okay, Wendy, you want to talk about the amendment?
Yeah, I think that's all way too convoluted, too. I think what this motion should say is that the Elections Committee recommends that local and national election supervisors consider candidate disruption of Pacifica events as possible means for disqualification.
So is that a substitute motion?
Yes.
Did you get that, Yosh, or can you write it up, Wendy?
I can't. I'm not near my computer. But,
okay.
Here's the thing. I think we're making it way too specific and silly.
Could you repeat? The Elections Committee recommends that the LES/NES consider
disruptions of Pacifica events by candidates as possible means for disqualification.
By candidates as possible grounds?
Yes.
For disqualification?
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I've got it. The Elections Committee recommends that the LES/NES consider disruptions of Pacifica events by candidates as possible grounds for disqualification. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Any other any discussion on Wendy's substitute motion?
Yes, may I? Carolyn, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, remember it's getting late, everyone. Carolyn.
Yes, I'm sorry. I would like to include the final determination within 5 days provision, otherwise it may just get deep fixed. Is that objectionable, Wendy?
I guess not. I just can see a time when it might go over, but that's not my concern. I don't care.
Okay, any objections to adding the within 5 days? Okay, here are no objections.
Yeah,
we'll make that
object.
Amendment.
I object.
Okay. All right. Can we vote on Carolyn's amendment to add the 5 days? Carolyn's amendment to Wendy's substitute motion. When Carolyn moved to add the within 5 days time period. Can we vote on that, everyone?
Hey, let's vote.
Yeah.
Okay, Yosh, you want to call a roll? Does it work? If you vote yes,
let me reread the thing.
Okay, thank you.
The Elections Committee recommends that the LES-NES consider disruptions of Pacifica events by candidates as possible grounds for disqualification within 5 days of the filing of the complaint.
Okay, now what we're voting on is the adding the words within 5 days of filing the complaint. So if you're in favor, if you vote yes, you're in favor of adding that language to Wendy's motion.
Who shall make the final determination within 5 days? And they shall make the final determination.
who shall make the final determination within 5 days? Period.
Point of information.
Okay, can you read back? Well, okay, go ahead. Point.
Is the word "events" pointed enough? Should we add any governmental meetings or anything like that? Because I can see an argument starting over, well, this isn't a event, this is a governance meeting, they're distinctly different. That's my concern.
If we keep amending this, we're never going to finish.
No, I know.
Just say meetings and events. How about that?
Yeah, meetings and events. Thank you.
That's fine.
All right, so can you read back the amendment that we're voting on now?
Sure. I'm going to change it to meetings or events. The Elections Committee recommends that the LES-NES consider disruptions of Pacifica meetings or events by candidates as possible grounds for disqualification. Who shall make a final determination within 5 days?
Okay, so what we're voting on is the change about who shall make the final determination within 5 days.
I think that syntactically that doesn't work. And they shall make the final rather than who shall.
And they. Okay.
And they shall make the final, yes.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, so we're voting on the adding those words, and they shall make the final determination within 5 days. Can you call the roll for the vote?
Yes. We'll take it from the bottom this time. Yosh votes yes. Bonnie?
Seems absolutely crazy. No, I'm voting no.
Wendy?
I don't know.
Okay.
Abstain.
Okay. Sean?
Yes.
Sophia? Warren? Bob?
No.
Tracy? Anthony?
No.
Bill?
Pass. Or abstain, sorry.
Steve?
Yes.
Jim?
No.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Wesley?
No.
All right, we've got 1, 2, 4 yays. We got 2, 4, 5 nays. So Wendy's motion, substitute language or addition fails.
Okay, so now we're back to the original part of Wendy's motion, or substitute motion. So it's the same as what we just had, except without the 5 day part.
Right.
Can you read that back, Yosh?
Yes. The Elections Committee recommends that the LES-NES consider disruptions of Pacifica meetings or events by candidates as possible grounds for disqualification.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on that motion, a substitute motion? Okay, can you call a roll on that, Yosh?
Yeah.
Point of information, I never got to speak to the original motion, so let me know when I can do so.
Well, if the substitute motion passes, then we won't go back to the original motion. If the substitute motion fails, then we will go back to the original motion, and hopefully we would have time to finish discussing it tonight. I don't know. I can't
Bill, can we just let Wesley speak? He hasn't said anything all night.
Well,
does anybody mind?
Is it relevant to the substitute motion, Wesley? Because that's
it has
right
to do
now.
With the original motion. The fact is that I don't. If I may speak to the original motion,
Okay, well, wait, hold on a second.
Back all this time, I would consider it a really nice thing for y'all if you let me do.
Okay, well, if it has to do with whether we should vote for or against the substitute motion, then that's fine.
Well, I vote no against the substitute motion.
Well, go ahead and say, tell us why we should vote no on the substitute motion.
Well, it seems to me like the National Election Supervisor has, which we didn't recommend anyway as a group, to give him this power. It seems to me like we already have such a, we have the LSB, the PNB has the ability to, with a two-thirds majority, to boot anybody off the board that they so choose. To give this power over to the NES is, to me, is just ridiculous. So,
point of information.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, I just want clarification from Wesley. I agree that, you know, if we get a two-thirds vote, we can boost anybody off the board. But the point is, we're talking about candidates who are running here, and I just want to be sure that you're clear of that distinction. This is not after people have been elected to the board, but while they're running.
Well, in our personal experience at KPFT, one member, as soon as he came on the board, they put him off with the initials KF. So that KPFT know who I'm talking about. I don't see why y'all can't do this very same thing when you elect them, or should the voters elect them, then let the rules already in place take care of that. I don't understand. So I'm totally against the whole thing. Now we can vote on anything y'all want to.
Okay.
I say.
All right, we're ready to go ahead and vote on the substitute motion by Wendy. Can you read it back again, Yosh?
Yes. The Elections Committee recommends that the LESNES consider disruptions of Pacifica meetings or events by candidates as possible grounds for disqualification.
Okay. All right, you can call the roll.
Yes, I'm going to start from the middle. Anthony Fest.
Yes.
Tracy Larkins, Bob Lederer.
No.
Warren Marr, Ifeah Wangaza, Sean Casey O'Brien.
Yes.
Wendy Schrell.
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Yosh votes yes. Wesley Bethune.
No.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Jim Brown.
No.
Steve Brown.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
I believe the yeas carry it. We got 2, 4, 7, and 4 nays. So Wendy's substitute motion becomes the main motion.
Okay. Well, we've already voted on the, we approved the substitute motion, so we don't need to go back to the main motion.
No? Okay.
Okay. So we approved that motion. Okay. I have two more motions. Actually, three more motions that came in. So let's try to do these quickly if we can, because we only have about 15 minutes to go. The first one, I believe, by time was Steve's, how to ensure all voters receive ballots. I hope everybody got that if you're connected to your computer. I'll read it. Motion. The PNB Elections Committee recommends that the PNB ask the National Election Supervisor to immediately correct the Pacifica website and any Pacifica station websites that have a deadline for returning delegate election ballots that differs from the deadline printed on the ballots. Is there any discussion on that? Oh, I'm sorry, this is Bob's.
Yeah.
No,
it's
Steve.
I've got Steve Brown as his motion at any station at which there is reason to believe that a significant number of voters did not receive a ballot, a postcard should be immediately mailed to the entire membership with address correction requested. The postcard should ask anyone who has not received a ballot to contact the LES. The voters whose postcards bounced should be mailed a second ballot to the correct address, or if no corrected address be available, that voter should be contacted by phone or email to get a corrected address.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. That was looking at the wrong one. So, that yes, that one was first, the one you just read. Is there any discussion on this?
Yeah, Sean for the stack.
Okay, let's try to keep it brief, everyone. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not against this motion. It makes a lot of sense, but I think that since we are a radio network, we should do this, and we should also put stuff out on the air, because even though we won't hit every listener by putting this information out over the air, we will hit a lot. So I would like to see not only a postcard sent out, but PSAs put in regular promotion, telling people, and it's like,
if we start amending it, this is going to take a long time.
No. I can make it short by saying, perhaps we should combine my motion with Steve's motion, because that, I think, will take care of the problem.
Mr. Chair, I have no objection. I did not mean my motion to exclude announcing on the air.
Okay.
By all means, do both. Any means necessary to inform the voters has my approval.
Okay, so you're moving, Sean's moving, we combine these two, and I'll just read that. Sean said, I move that the election committee request that the PNB send out a directive to all LES to produce and air tutorials that instruct members what to do if they have not received a ballot, as well as encourage voters to return their ballots, and that all such tutorials be put into regular and repeated rotation until October 15th, 2009. So is there any objection to combining those two?
Bob.
Okay, Bob.
I would rather consider them separately, because I don't really know what is all entailed with the postcard, and also the price estimate doesn't include anything for printing, and so it may or may not be a good idea, but it's really a separate issue from Sean's motion, which I think makes a lot of sense, and which I'd like to amend to add to include announcements on the station's website to the same effect.
Okay, well, let's just deal with Steve's then first. Is that okay, everybody? And
yeah.
Then we'll get to Sean's. All right. Okay, any discussion on Steve's? This is the one about sending the postcard with address correction requested. Any objections to it?
Yes.
Okay, Bonnie?
I'm voting against it. Is that what you mean?
Okay, would you like to say what your objection is?
First of all, I don't know that we even have time within this particular election. I don't know what the printing and real final cost of this would be, and I'm very concerned, as I know is everyone else, how much money we have going out the doors right now and how much money we have coming in the doors. And I think that this is more effectively dealt with simple promotional announcements on the stations, and also information prominently featured on our web pages.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on Steve's motion? I hope you all can read it. He also, to keep having to reread all this stuff, he did email some additional information in addition to the motion. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Carolyn, please. I'm not on email, so pardon me if I'm repeating something, but it seems to me that it's the least we can do to correct some of the possible problems that have come up. It won't cost very much if the lists are in good shape, which I know they are not. So I would really strongly urge people to vote for this, because we really need a quorum, and we need people to know about the election. And as Steve pointed out, many of our listeners don't listen that much anymore, our members.
Okay, and I should have let Steve motivate his motion first, if you want to read what you sent us or anything else, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's self-explanatory. The only objection raised that I can see is Bonnie's question about whether there is time, and, you know, if there's no time, we won't do it. But this can be done very quickly. And the other objection is that we don't know the ultimate cost. The cost is not... We have to first decide whether we want to do this. At some point, we can decide if it's too expensive. The cost is close to what I stated it would be, even though I don't know.
Okay. Can you state what that was? Because not everybody has email accessible right now.
It's in the email. Can you read it? It's in the...
Okay, I can read it.
Go ahead,
Steve wrote, problem. We did not place an endorsement on our ballot mailing, such as address correction requested, so we did not get bounced back to us all undeliverable mailers with either the corrected address or an indication of the new or correct address. It is unknown. I'm sorry. I assume that we did not use address correction requested because the cost of such an endorsement on nonprofit mail is the cost of first-class postage, or perhaps slightly more, for each piece returned. But the savings is minimal, even if we assume a minimum of 1% or a maximum of 3% being returned, the cost would be, for BAI, only $140 to $420, a very inexpensive way to prevent the problem we now face. Note, this would not have helped the PayPal subscribers, but they could have been contacted by email, and why weren't they?
Okay, so anybody else have any discussion on this motion, so we can go ahead and vote on it?
Yes, I do. This is Yosh.
Okay, Yosh.
I don't quite see the point, because, you know, assuming that a mailing was sent out to everyone at, or the entire membership of BAI, to send a postcard at this point seems duplicative and futile, seems to me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I just state it sounds reasonable if we didn't have any way of determining if the original mailing went to invalid addresses. Anybody else want to speak on it? Motion for or against? Okay. Is there any objections to it, to the motion?
Yes, I object.
Okay. Well, can we go ahead and vote then?
Yes.
About a point of information, Anthony here.
Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
This is about the details of the post office policies, which Steve seems to know the most about. I'm looking at my ballot envelope. It does have a return address, the foundation's return address. If this had gone to the wrong address, would it have not been returned to the foundation?
No. Can I answer that?
Yes, please.
It's a nonprofit mailing, which is the same as standard mailing, handed in the same way. Unless you have a specific endorsement on there, that says address correction requested, it will not be returned. It'll just be dumped.
Mm.
Okay. Can you go ahead and call the roll in, Yosha, so we can vote on this? All in favor? This is the, what we're voting on is Steve's motion about sending out the postcard.
Okay, we'll take it from the middle and up. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Steve Brown.
Yes.
Jim Brown. Jim? We'll come back to Jim. Carolyn Burden? Carolyn? We'll come back to Carolyn. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Yosh will abstain. Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Wendy Schrell? Wendy? Sean Casey O'Brien?
Yes.
Ithia Wangaza, Warren Marr, Bob Lederer?
No.
Tracy Larkins, Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Wendy Schrell? Wendy? Okay, as it is, the yeas carry with 2, 4, 6 yeas and 3 nays. So the postcard carries.
Okay, so that motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we're almost out of time. Sean has a motion that he sent next. Move that Elections Committee request that the PNB send out a directive to all LES to produce and air tutorials that instruct members what to do if they have not received a ballot, as well as encourage voters to return their ballots, and that all such tutorials be put into regular and repeated rotation until October 15th, 2009. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, Bonnie.
Okay, let's make it brief, please.
And Bob.
Go ahead.
I would not call them tutorials. I would call them promotional I would just call them announcements. And if you have them in rotation till October 15th, you don't want to be telling people on October 15th that they should be contacting the local election supervisor in order to get a ballot.
Can I
speak? You're suggesting we change it, tutorials to announcements and change the date to something else?
I just think we should think through. There's got to be a logical cutoff here.
Can I speak to that since I got no chance to motivate this?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I take your concern to heart. I do believe that if somebody really wants to vote and they find out they haven't got a ballot, they should know about that right up until the last day of the election. They can always get what would amount to a provisional ballot while anything else is checked out. This in no way hampers the election and increases, turnout. Increases quorum. And this is really common sense since we are, after all, a radio station. It cost us nothing to instruct our voters how to get new ballots and to remind them repeatedly that this is one of the benefits of membership and to please send in your ballots. This is nothing common sense voter outreach. Thank you.
Okay. Any other
point of information?
Okay, Wesley.
Yes. Will there be a box at each of the stations in order for people who have a provisional ballot to install it at the last day?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
I would assume, since there were local election supervisors there to collect the petitions with signatures, that they would be there on the last day, not only involved in collecting ballots, but preparing to count the ballots. So I would assume, and I know what they say about assumptions, folks, that yes, there could be, if somebody walks in at 12 noon and wants to vote before whatever the cutoff is, whether it's 9 o'clock or midnight, that could be arranged. So I don't see that as a big problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can we go ahead and vote on it?
Bob.
Yeah,
okay.
Ahead, Bob.
I just wanted to support the small wording change from tutorial to announcement, just so that no one at the stations gets confused that this is supposed to be some lengthy thing, but could simply be a 60-second announcement.
I would agree with that, Bob, and I would also agree that it should include the websites. I think
that was
absolutely
my second
correct
point.
There.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you if there are any objections to those. Any objections to changing the wording from tutorials to announcements and adding website information? Okay, here are no objections, so we'll add that. Okay, now are there any objections to the motion as amended? Hearing none, then the motion passes. Okay, one more quick motion, we hope. Bob?
Sure, I can
earlier,
read it.
But,
go one
ahead.
Sentence. The PNB Elections Committee recommends that the PNB ask the National Election Supervisor to immediately correct the Pacifica website and any Pacifica station websites that have a deadline for returning delegate election ballots that differ that differs from the deadline printed on the ballot.
Here, here.
Okay. Any objections to that? Anyone? Hearing none, then that motion passes too. I don't believe there were any others, were there?
There's one there that but it may be not necessary.
Oh, yes,
email it to us?
Thank you.
Let me check my email. Did you email it to us, Jim?
I did.
Okay, I don't see it, but can you read it, please?
I've got it.
Okay. It says, I move that this committee recommends to the PNB chair to immediately send a letter to the National Election Supervisor requesting that he address all of the issues expressed tonight and report back to the PNB his resolution of these issues. For instance, non-enforcement of the unfair campaign rule and the mailing of the ballot.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean.
Mr. Brown, are these mute points because we've dealt with these other things, or it, is there
it,
something?
It may well be, Sean. That's why I'm asking you us to just look at it, consider it, and if it's not, then fine.
Well, I think we might. Now, that is just my assumption, so if anybody wants to disagree with me, because I really don't see any problem with making sure the NES knows what we're doing here.
Okay, well, let me ask Yosh, because I didn't get the email. Did you get the text of this?
Yes, I've got Mr. Brown's motion
okay.
here.
Well, it's 9:30. Can we go ahead and see if there's any objections to this?
Well, Bill, before we do, you had promised earlier we would get back to the question of our next meeting date, and that was related to
you.
The question of whether we thought there were enough pressing issues to ask for a special accelerated date at which Les Radke could participate. So I'd like to make that perhaps as an amendment to this motion, that the chair be requested to contact Mr. Radke about the earliest possible date that he could join us for a call to discuss these issues and others that may come up concerning the election.
Okay. Is there any objections to that? Okay, sounds good to me. So we'll make that amendment. Is there any objections to Jim's motion along with Bob's amendment?
My only concern, it's not an objection, is have we taking care of these problems, and you know, Mr. Brown, your opinion weighs a lot here.
Jim, you want to respond to that?
No, I think this motion needs to go. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Jim.
No, I think this motion needs to go because we need to have that the information. Taken care of immediately. We'd have all these issues taken care of immediately. No, I think it should go. I think it should stay.
This is Bill. I think it's a good idea. There's a lot of things we talked about earlier that were not in these motions that we passed. So I'd like to hear what Les' response is to them. Are there any objections then to the to Jim's motion with the amendment from Bob about me contacting Les and asking him to join us at a meeting as soon as we can arrange one? Okay, hearing none, then it's approved. And I guess it's about time to adjourn.
Move. Still move, sir.
Okay. Any objections to adjourning? Okay. I'll let you know what I hear back from Les and let you know when we have a meeting scheduled.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, John, for streaming and archiving us.